The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Praise to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, while taking their lamps, brought no oil with them. But the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. The early bishops and saints of the church, like Saint Augustine, would often preach, especially with this parable, about our need for good works. Early in the Gospel of Matthew, it talks about how we're called to put our lamp on a lampstand, not to cover it up, but to let our faith be seen by the world. And the early Christians all saw this as a need for us to perform good works, to do charitable things, and to express that love of God for others. But then, as often happens throughout human history, that kind of got changed throughout history, and these good works became seen as some sort of currency. Right? That if we had just enough kind of good works to balance out our bad works, then maybe we could kind of earn our salvation. We could actually do enough good stuff apart from God that we could get to heaven on our own. I would say somewhat correctly, that's what Martin Luther and the Protestants revolted against. They said, we can't claim that it's without faith in Jesus that we can be saved. So you might have heard some Protestant Christians that say, well, good works are bad. We just have to have this faith. And the opposite of that seems to be what the Catholics say of, well, no, we need to do good works as this sort of currency. But I don't think the point of the early church or the point of the parable today is that our good works give us some sort of currency to earn salvation or to lead us to heaven. Instead, the good works are like that oil that literally can't be given from the wise virgins to the foolish. Because I know when I read this parable, I always think, why isn't this called the parable of the stingy virgins, right? They seem very not generous. It's like, you could just give them a little bit of oil and this whole problem would be solved and we could all go into the party. Seems like a very easy solution, Jesus. Or for whatever reason, it is impossible for them to give their oil to another. It seems much like it's impossible for us to give our good works or the ways that we followed the Lord to another. That we're only responsible for the things that we do, the ways we follow God and live in charity with our neighbor. We actually don't get to claim the good things that other people do. Right? We can't say, my family was really charitable and generous. So, God, can I get a little bit of that oil? Can't that count towards me, even though my parents did it or my cousins did it? Don't I get a little bit of that? Or can't say that with our children. Or, well, you know, Father, we have this great parish that does a lot of good stuff, and I'm kind of part of the club, so can I get lumped into some of their good work, some of their oil? And I think that was really what St. Augustine and the early church fathers were pointing towards when they talked about good works. And it's not that we're gaining some sort of currency that's meant to balance out our sin. Instead, it's our good works that really make our faith personal. It's a way to say that this is my faith, the way that I follow Jesus and bring his love into the world. I think with that understanding of works, we see that this parable is really about those five foolish virgins who kind of on the outside make it look like they're ready for the bridegroom. They're ready to meet him. They have the stuff that they need. They brought their lamps. They're with everybody else in the right place. So it looks like they're doing what they're supposed to do, but they're actually missing something. Maybe they're assuming that they could get it from somebody else, that somebody else will take care of them. For whatever reason, they don't have the thing that no one else can give them. They don't have that oil, or if we're looking at it spiritually, they don't have those works of charity and obedience to God. On the flip side, the wise virgins, they, yes, have everything that they're supposed to have. On the outside, it looks like they are ready for the bridegroom. But also, they have this one thing that nobody else can give them. They have this personal oil, this fruit of good works. Again, not just because they did it on their own and they've somehow gained their salvation. It's by cooperating with the Holy Spirit that they have that one thing that no one can give them. They have their own good works, their own way that they have followed Christ. I think that is what our good works are meant to be. They're the way that our faith becomes personal, that it becomes my expression and my response to God's love for me. The way that I can give everything to God, loving him with my whole heart, mind, and soul. The way that I choose to love my neighbor as myself. And sure, there are many different ways that we can do it and many different ways that people do it in our current day or that saints have done it throughout history. We can't just try to kind of hold on or ride the coattails of what other people have done. At that final day of judgment at the second coming of Christ, the bridegroom, you have to be able to say, what is it really that is mine? What is my response to that love and grace that God has given me? So, sisters, today is our commitment Sunday for the stewardship way of life. You should receive one of the packets in the mail if you haven't or you need one. There's a few extras back in the main southeast exit. But when we choose and fill out those forms, it's really a way to say, this is my response of time, talent, and treasure. It's not just how somebody could do it theoretically. It's not just saying, well, this is how some people in our parish do it, so I guess I'll do it as well. It's really an invitation to be like those wise virgins that say, this is a way that I will choose to give those gifts back to God and out of love for my neighbor. This is my response to what God has given me. Not the response of my family or my ancestors. Not the response of what everybody at Christ the King does. Just really that good oil that is meant to be what keeps my flame of faith burning. Not so that we can show it off to people and say, look at all the good things that I do. But I think of it as kind of the opposite of kind of the guilt we feel for our sins. When we go to confession and we're preparing and we think about our sins, we rightfully have a great sense of guilt or shame. Especially when we feel that responsibility for the things we've chosen to do that offend God or our neighbor. I think to kind of balance that out, God doesn't want us just to feel responsibility for the bad things we do. He also wants us to kind of take joy in the good things we do. He wants us to be kind of proud of the ways that we serve God and the ways that we love others. Again, not as a way to attract attention or to puff out our chest and show all the good things we do. But I just went to say, no, Lord, this is my response. This is my life of faith. These are my good works that are meant to be that oil that keeps my flame of faith burning until the coming of the bridegroom. This is the way that I want to be one of those ones that's prepared for you whenever you show up. Brothers and sisters, as we fill out those stewardship forms or as you return them today, I hope that that can be a way that your faith becomes personal. It's not just a generic way to follow Jesus or to hope that we've earned enough spiritual currency to get into heaven. Instead, it's a way to say, this is my response to God. This is the way that I want to say yes to Jesus. And in a way, using the words of this parable, this is my oil. And I share it generously out of love of God and my neighbor. Let's pray, brothers and sisters, that our life of stewardship can always be that source of life for us. That can lead us to be close to Jesus each and every day of our lives here on earth. But also lead us to the joy of eternal life with Him in heaven.